With one hand, we reach back to the tried and tested principles which have dethroned principalities and powers. And with the other, we reach forward to the purpose, the power of God for a new generation. What makes a man do the things he does? What on earth would make our teenagers go out and smoke marijuana after they've tasted the things of God? What on earth would make a preacher go and lay in the bed with some rude, streaked, blurry-eyed floozy and leave his family and lose his ministry? I'll tell you what it is. It's a devil. It's a demon. And God. Has given us power. Jesus, if nobody helps me, I'll do it anyway. You can take my ministry, you can take my microphone, and if I have to, I'll cut my hands and shout at the top of my lungs, this is what America needs, set free from the grip of demon power. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Violence filled their hearts. Children, by the time they're 18 years of age in the United States of America, have seen 200,000 acts of violence on television alone, and they've witnessed 25,000 cold-blooded murders. A recent survey found that Christians are watching an equal amount of R-rated movies as those who claim no experience with Jesus Christ. Movies like Soldier. In that one, you can watch 424 murders. Some of you watched it. Or maybe you were, maybe you didn't get that one. Maybe you got in on vampires. You got to watch 678 people die in that one. Or maybe Die Hard 2, where only 264 people were murdered in an hour and 45 minutes. And you head to the movie house with the world. Of course, some of you are not only... Some of you are too sophisticated for that in your sin. You just go to Blockbuster and rent it. So you can bring that spirit not to the movie house, but to your house. And then you don't understand why your children are so violent. Well, I didn't let my kids watch it. You let that demon spirit inside your house. Get it out, get it out, get it out, get it. Yeah. Get it out! Marilyn Manson, who gets his name, first name from a sex goddess, second name from a serial murderer by the name of Charles Manson, strapped to a wooden cross, wearing nothing but a black G-string. Marilyn Manson says, "My role is to awaken a collective disbelief in Christianity and its God." Here's some songs we listen to. Country death song. Quote, I started making plans to kill my own. Come, little daughter, we'll have some fun. I led her to a hole. I gave her a push. I threw my own child into a bottomless pit. Misery machine, quote, careen down highway 666. I'm fueled by filth and fury. Well, I don't understand why Johnny just treats me with such disrespect. I don't understand. Well, what's he got in his room? Well, I don't know. I wouldn't want to invade his privacy. There's a difference between privacy and secrecy. And as long as I'm daddy at my house, I'm going to read every notebook. I'm going to read every locket. I'm going to look in every drawer. I don't believe you need privacy to go to the bathroom and take a bath, and that's it. That's it. You want me to go on? Shout, it's a devil! I got on the web. Yeah, I got on the web. I checked out the gothic fashion website called Walking Dead. Yeah, gothic. Goth. We're goth. Your Bible says, what fellowship hath light with darkness, or the sons of God with the sons of Belial? These devils like to have picnics in graveyards, wear black clothes, white pancake makeup. Now, when your child walks in with that on, just grab them by the nape of the neck and take them in and scrub their face. Scrub it. Scrub it good. Well, I don't want them to rebel against God. They're already going to hell in a handbasket. Sit down. I know you can't believe I'm brave enough to preach it. I'm tired of young people running around. Let me ask you a question. Who are you imitating? Who are you trying to be like? I ain't got nothing sticking in my tongue. I thought you were supposed to love men of God, love the things of God. You ain't got no Rod Parsley tattooed on your arm. You got Jordan tattooed on there, who wouldn't give you 50 cents if you needed to make a phone call. I'll tell you what the Bible's concerned about, motivation. Next time your child comes in wanting to pierce something, ask them why. Why do you want to do that? I guarantee you they'll tell you because somebody's got it. And somebody's got it. And if you trace it back, you're not going to trace it back to a Holy Ghost man or woman of God with a holiness attitude and a perspective that I want to live circumspectly before God. You're going to find it on some devilish athlete who's had five different women pregnant at one time, and you all let them run around wearing their t-shirts. I know I'm making you mad. Get you a T.D. Jakes t-shirt or a Rod Parsley t-shirt or a Moses t-shirt or a Noah t-shirt. You're financing the lifestyle you preach against. Sit down, please. There's no sense in it. Who do you want to be like? What do you want to represent? What does the Bible say? The Bible says glorify God in your body. What does the Bible say? You are created in the image of God. We're like Peter. We blend in so well. God is concerned about motivation and association. What does your dress, your attire, your attitude prove you are allegiant to? Let me tell you one of the biggest lies while I'm at it. One of the biggest lies is that you got to look like them and act like them in order to win them. If that was... You're going to win them when you don't look like them and when you don't act like them, and they get hungry and thirsty for the salt that you are. Sit down now. The spirit of the world is the ordering of human persons by demon influence. Crept into the church. Spirit of anger. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said road rage is the number one traffic problem in America. Not traffic lights or souped up engines. Mad people. Listen to this. The United States Department of Transportation says 250,000 people were killed on America's highways between 1990 and 1996, and they say two-thirds of all those fatalities were directly related to road rage. Somebody got mad and killed somebody with their car. 250,000 of them. Some of you had a bout with it coming in the building. Bless God, make me go to the overflow. I didn't get a VIP seat. We had a woman several nights ago, back right back yonder, tried to sit down, and somebody got in her seat, and she took her 42-pound pocketbook and whacked somebody over the head with it. We were having service. People were trying to climb through the windows. Anger. Rage. Temper. Well, I'm Irish. Well, it's just the way our people do. You got a devil. There's a devil loose at your house. You better cast him out. You better cast him out, I said. I said you better cast him out. You're waning on me now. I ain't got to the best one. I'm gonna get to the best one. Spirit of suicide. The teen rate of suicide is up 400% in 2 years. A child takes his life every 17 minutes in this country. We all wall and squall and bawl about Columbine. I hate to put it in these terms. There are more people killed in half a day, murder themselves, teenagers in this country. There would be a Columbine every 5 hours. The blood of our children cries out. I'm hopeless. I'm helpless. Two 17-year-old boys in an affluent New Jersey neighborhood climbed on top of their daddy's Mercedes-Benz, spread pornography out on the floor, and began to have sex with themselves while hanging by a rope. Because they'd found out that that's supposed to make some kind of heightened ecstasy. And their parents came home and found them hanged to death in their own garage. A 12-year-old girl pinned a note to her dress, took an overdose of aspirins at 12 years of age, and said, I just can't take life anymore. A 17-year-old boy in a New York high school walked into homeroom. They started making fun of him. He pulled a .45 caliber revolver out from his desk, put it in his mouth, and said, you'll never get to make fun of me again. Dwight Thompson was preaching, giving an altar call, and in the upper regions, while he was pleading for men and women to come to Christ, a teenager took his own life. Every 17 minutes, somebody's baby goes to eternity, and the church sings, this is the day. A psychology magazine I recently read says, quote, There seems to be an invasion of some mystical, unusual, supernatural force which is driving our children over the brink. Yeah, it's called a devil. Spirits of deception. Yeah. Can you give me 10 minutes? Can you give me 10 minutes? Spirits that deceive us. Hope I'm still alive. Because I want to talk to some preachers. I was watching me some so-called preachers not long ago. And I was amazed how scriptural they were. Because your Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, knowing this first and foremost, that there shall come in the last days, shout in the last days, scoffers, walking after their own lust. They're easy to spot. Say it. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now, you can also find them out very easily because they're liars. They just lied right there. They totally left out the flood of Noah. God had to destroy the whole thing. I was watching so-called Christian television, at which time I heard someone say, we are the new breed of preachers for the new century. We should never mention the subject of sin. Okay. We shall have worship services, and the unsaved will, listen to me now, see the presence of God and be convinced of the goodness within them. You New Age lying devil. See, you can't even clap. You too tired to clap. You got a lazy devil on you now. It's a devil. It's a demon spirit. And they get more airtime than I do. They get more playtime than I do. You know why? Because it's some new thing. And you know why? Because they preach a gospel that is conducive to the lifestyle that the people want to live. Better sit yourself down now. Because before I get out of here tonight, I'm going to tell the truth. You got to tell your lie. Now I'm going to tell the truth. Scoffers. Do you know what a scoffer is? A false teacher. And in the last day they shall heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. Somebody that will tell them what they want to hear. So they preach he's not coming. There's not going to be any rapture. The same person said, we do not concern ourselves with what do they call it? And then laughed. What do they call it? The 7 years of tribulation? You mock this book? God have mercy on your soul. And some of you preachers better stop backpedaling water like some kind of crawdad and stand up in your pulpit and open your Bible and read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which plainly says, I would not have you ignorant brethren concerning them which are asleep, for we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, for the trump of God shall sound, and the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are remain will be caught up into the clouds to be with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm out of here on the first load. I don't need your exegesis and your 42 prophetic utterances and your 32 Greek lexicons. God didn't make this thing so confusing that we all needed you to interpret it for us. So simple that a fool like me need not even air therein. He's coming. Did you hear me? He's coming. 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 My God, he's coming. He's coming. Faster than the fleetest hoof ever struck a pavement or a wheel ever turned on an axle. In an hour that you think not. The magnificent magnitude of his perfect person sweeping out from north to south and east to west. And if you're blood bought and your blood washed, it won't matter if you're underneath the crusty surface of the earth in a coal mine or flying around in the space shuttle. When he comes, you're coming out of here. Sit down. I just got a question for you, you scoffers. What are you going to do with Enoch? Huh? What are you going to do with Enoch? Didn't you ever read Genesis? It's the first book. That's where you ought to start. It's the primer. It's Ned and the first reader. See Jolly Sally jump. See Spot run. It's in the first book. Genesis. Adam had two sons. Cain and Abel. Cain slew his brother with a murdering spirit. It's been in the earth ever since. It's what makes our children walk the hallways and shoot their friends to death. It's a devil. You better hear me now. Cain's line is listed in Genesis chapter 4. Seven generations from Adam is Lamech. When God gives you a picture of Lamech and his genealogy, all that it says is this one begat that one, and that one begat that one, and that one begat that one. That's all. God pays not much mind to Cain's seed. They were people of the world. They built an industrial revolution. Banished from the Garden of Eden. Commerce, politics, social life, entertainment. They were kings upon the earth. But Eve went to Adam and said, I want a child to replace the just Abel. And so seven generations from Adam, beginning with Seth, comes Enoch. If you study the Cain line, no mention is made of them living or dying. But when you get on Seth's side, it not only says they lived once, it says they lived twice. They lived and they lived again. Not only does it record that they lived and lived again, it records that they died. It seems that God would have recorded Cain's genealogy dying, but not so. For precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. Costly to the Lord, the death of his saints. They lived and they lived again. They lived and they lived again. They died. They lived, they lived again. They died. Every genealogy for six generations until you get to Enoch. Enoch was 65 years old when he begat Methuselah. Enoch lived, and at 65 he lived again. And your Bible said, and Enoch walked with God. In the middle of social permissiveness, spiritual presumption, in the middle of a pornographic society, Enoch walked with God. Now I'm going to mess up your theology right now, because while it says that Enoch lived and lived again, it does not say he died. For Enoch was and was not, for God took him. No. Too easy to clap now. When did he take him? With the clouds of judgment already hanging overhead and the seed of Noah in his grandfather. God said, before the judgment comes and the clouds are already overhead, I've got one walking with me. Don't have a lot, but I got one. And God reached down and said, come on up out of here. I'm about to pour out some stuff you ain't got nothing to do with. Noah's a type of the 144,000 and those saved during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. If you want to hang around and try to get it then, be my guest. Some of you are going to have to anyway, because you ain't first loaders. What are you talking about? I'm saved. No, you were saved. See, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, do you walk with God? There are only two other verses that mention Enoch in your Bible. One of them says, and Enoch pleased God. And Jude says, he warned his generation of the wrath to come. Are you walking with him? Are you walking with him? Are you rapture ready? If he should come like a thief in the night. You know why our teenagers are sleeping together in the back of 87 Chevys? Because nobody preaches this. In 1975, the girl that I was supposed to take to the prom refused to go with me. Can you believe that? Handsome young man like me. Captain of the basketball team and all that stuff. You know why she wouldn't go with me? She said, I'm a senior in high school and I'm still a virgin and I refuse to graduate that way. And when we go to the prom, you better be ready. And I said, you a devil. You did not. Yes, I did. You devil. You ain't getting my virginity. I got an anointing on my life. You're not messing me up, you pimply faced, dyed haired thing, you. Get out of my face. Well, you won't have anybody to go to the prom with. Well, I'll go with Jesus. How'd that be? I got just as many hormones as you ask my wife. Ain't that right, baby? Huh? No, but something was alive on the inside of me. Lust was not exalted to lordship in my life. Jesus Christ of Nazareth was the Lord of my life, and there wasn't nobody worth selling out for. Are you hearing me? And you know the reason? You know one of the reasons? Was because I was a little bit afraid that before I got out of the back seat of that 74 green Monte Carlo with deep dish Krager mags and holly headers, that Jesus just might come before we got back home that night. Shout, it's a devil. It's a devil. It's a devil. Such scoffers are going to be more bold in numbers in the last day. They're making great improvements in the art of bantering serious godliness and the adherence to circumspection and self-denial. Let me tell you something. When you go to church, comb your hair with something other than a wagon wheel. Brush your shoes with something other than a Hershey bar. Take some soap if you don't have any. Stop at a gas station. They got some in there in the restroom. Wash yourself off. If you just got one suit of clothes, put it on. Brush it off. If you don't have a necktie, button the top collar. When you walk into the presence of God, let Him know you made some preparation to get there. Shout, Jesus is coming. Now, let me tell you something. The reason these things are able to creep in is because men give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And I'm going to say something. You better be careful. God's given me this window of opportunity, and I'm going to use it should it be my last. Find yourself a pastor. Put your feet down in some pews somewhere in a church in America where they believe the Bible. Sit yourself down there and get married to that place. And stop being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that you see coming over the airwaves or out your radio or on a cassette tape. The reason this stuff can creep in is because we've gone to a microwave Christianity, and nobody prays anymore, and nobody studies the Bible anymore. Nobody wants to open the Bible and read. Nobody wants to seek out their own salvation in fear and trembling before God. Nobody wants to get on their face and eat some carpet and pray. And I'm telling you that the Bible says, I don't care what some slick-haired, shiny-shoed evangelist told you, I'm telling you right now that Jesus said, lest the days be shortened, even the very elect of God would be deceived. Now, where does that leave you who haven't opened your Bible since this time last week, who haven't had time to pray? You had time for Oprah. Now, don't talk about Oprah. I might close with Oprah. Well, she's got 30 million viewers, a net worth of $530 million. In a recent program, she had a New Age guru set for 2 days and to 30 million viewers. Oprah said, quote, open up your heart and honor the authentic being present within you, the I am. Oprah, I got to help you, sweetheart. Now, you know the truth. You know the truth. And I'm going to tell you right now, you know what his name is. You might play with something else, but don't you go playing that New Age deceit and calling yourself I am, because there's only one I am. He's the one that told Moses, tell Pharaoh, I am sent you. Shirley MacLaine claims that her spirit guides the Virgin Mary. recently on Lisa, to my knowledge, claims an experience with God, had 2 days with the spiritual medium Rosemary Althea. I was in my shower. I had the TV on because there was a news program on. And here come Lisa. She crying. I said, what's going on? She had the spiritual medium on there. She was so happy because she'd put her in contact with one of her dead friends or relatives. And turn it off. Can I tell you? I'm not telling you to turn it off to hurt their ratings. You ain't going to hurt their ratings. That's not the way we do battle anyway. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imaginations, and every high and lofty thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Does it glorify Him? Does it magnify Him? John Wesley's mother, and I'm closing, don't you move. John Wesley's mother was asked the question by that young preacher, Mother, what is sin? Her response, John, anything that impedes the tenderness of your conscience, weakens your reason, dulls your deep desire for truly spiritual things. John, anything that exalts the authority of your body and your mind above your spirit, that thing to you is sin. Let me plead with you. Let me beg you, church. Shun the wrong. Do the right. Walk in your teenager's bedroom and say, now, darling, I love you. And let me tell you why this will destroy. Let me warn you. Oh, we got lots of prophets, but they're all prophesying your prosperity. Ain't nobody talking like this. We don't have no prophets like this. No, it don't make good airtime. Can you hear me? Can you see God put me on and beg you? Beg you. My God, people, put the fork down. The second leading cause of death in America is overeating. The second leading cause of death. We're eating ourselves to death. Lust, belly gods, passions running like riderless horses, no control. I love you. The Holy Spirit last night, as Benny Hinn brought us into the presence of the Lord. Gosh, I wish I got to do that stuff. No, I don't. They paraded across the platform. Some of them unkempt, overweight, disheveled. You know what the Holy Spirit says to me? If they get it, they'll never keep it. They have no discipline. If they can't be disciplined over what they eat, how are they going to be disciplined to get in the Word and hold on to a miracle? Come on, church. Come on, church. Get the rock and roll out. Turn the country station off. Turn Turn half of the religious stuff off. Find you something that's anointed. Find you somebody that can get you into the presence of God. If you can't, just get in there and make a joyful noise yourself. Just get into the presence of God. Shut yourself away. And when you come out of there, I'll tell you what'll happen. You'll be so full of the glory of God that men and women are going to fall down in front of you and say, "My God, man, you convict me of my sin by the very presence of God that rests upon you."
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, I want to invite you to tell someone in your life about the podcast. Hope you'll do it today. Head on over to iTunes and leave a review. Share it on your social networks for me. Really helps me get the word out. I'd love for you to connect with me on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. No easier way for me to minister to you every day and throughout the day, and for us to join together in faith as God moves in and through your life. You can find links to all my pages at rodparsley.com. God bless you now, and I hope you'll listen again soon.